If you would hand these out on this side, Mr. Holmes on this side, I appreciate that. I'm going to talk about today. Something that you all know about. Actually, I'll have to have a copy of that, Mr. Holmes. So you all know about this. We've been asked to pray. Mr. Horchak said it'd be remiss if he didn't say that. And so I know as I go throughout the week, I'm sending you a lot of prayer requests. If you're getting your emails, you probably go, well, here's another one. Well, here's another one. Here's another one. We're at a time in this day and age, though, that we get more prayer requests because we have such easy access and contact. And so when we find out that someone who is sick or someone who just died up in Newfoundland, if, as you remember, Mrs. Blanche Smith finally passed after years and years of hurting and suffering. And I know that her husband is, you know, no doubt misses her, but also is probably happy that she's not suffering anymore. And so we get a lot of prayer requests, and maybe you get when you get your prayer time or take your prayer time, we're in a society now where there's so much. You know, when do you get your prayers in for everybody? I mean, if you're going to pray down through the list that we have, that might be an hour itself. How do you do this? Besides asking God for everything else. And how do we go about that? I'd like to see if I can make a way re-energize our prayer lives. I was going to ask you at the start here, how many filled up with gas this week in their car? You know, how many actually, did you all, anybody here? Some may have not driven, but I know at one point I drove and had to fill up with gas. How many have turned on a light and your light didn't work? And you figure it out, maybe it wasn't the bulb, but actually you didn't plug it in. So there's a lot of analogies to be used in this. I remember some years ago, I used this analogy if you want to go to sports. Coaching a basketball team. Mr. Holmes was there, in fact, but I remember I was asked to coach the men's A team in Indianapolis. I was a B player, but they asked me to coach, and so I took that upon myself to do that. I'd not played a whole lot of basketball. I remember being in China, in Beijing, China, and we played against some of the Chinese guys there, and it was a lot of fun because it was a really friendly game. But I remember dribbling down court, and the ball just got away from me, and it kept getting higher in my dribble. And I just didn't know how to dribble that well. And so learning, you know, growing and practicing. But I noticed some of the guys on the men's A basketball team did not know how to carry the ball, how to pass the ball. And they had been playing for many years. And I just realized they had been playing so long and practicing such bad habits that I had to go back to some basics of basketball and learning how to dribble with your head up. Because a lot would go down court and they'd have they were more focused there on the guy that they were confronting or coming up with, and therefore everybody else was missing out. They were missing guys in the open, and therefore there were no effective passes, no really good teamwork. I had a really big center. The center in basketball is supposed to be the real tall, big guy. You know, you probably heard some of the players that used to be very, very big, very tall. In fact, if you can get a really big one that's got weight on him, that's going to be your good center. But our good center could not hold the ball. Somebody would pass the ball, and you're supposed to turn around because there's the basket right there, and then you're right there as a center to, you know, nobody's can really get through to you or bounce you out because you're so big and so heavy. But the guy couldn't hold the ball. They would slap it right out of him. And so I had to have him practice holding on to the ball. And so just some basic things. So sometimes here as Christians, we can go through a lot of material, a lot of different sermons, but I'd like to ask, how are our basics going? Because if this one's not there, then we're going to find a lot more that's missing in our life as well. There's a lot to be said about praying, and I'm pretty certain that we all could use a refresher sometimes. Isn't it great that God is a God of starting over, of do-overs? I couldn't fathom. I've given some sermons on mercy before. I still can't fathom God's mercy, how merciful God is, how forgiving that he is. And that we can sometimes get so low in our lives with so many things happening around us and pounding us and bombarding us, so many things there are to do, that maybe our the most important facet in our life starts to slack off as well. So if this can be used here as something that can restart or reinvigorate, kind of like a new fill-up or maybe a tune-up, if you want to put it that way, to actually look at this week and take a look at this and say, you know, can I do this? Can I know we can. It's just we have to see the importance of it. This is more important than anything else. If this doesn't start our day and end our day and continue through the day, then we're missing the most important parts of our entire life, because God knows all about the other things. The other things that weigh us down, it's so busy all the time that we just can't seem to get everything done. And by the way, you won't. We won't get everything done. It's just the way it's going to be. But the most important thing is we just saw here that we've got an important thing to be done in the future, of which God is using us now, preparing us, that we're going to have to teach these same things. So when you look at the perfect day here, can we really accomplish this? Here's how we'll accomplish the perfect day. Is if we accomplish point 1, point 8, and point 21. If we do that. Everything in between, you can fill out in the way that you see fit. If you've got some things to do in the morning and you want to write some of those things down, and then some things in the afternoon. I don't have a point 22 because I'm figuring that after you pray at night, you're going to go to bed. So not necessarily watch another movie. That's why if you want to put point 22, that's up to you. Or you can fill those in maybe with people that need our prayers. Maybe you would like to do it that way. Have a couple lines that you can. Isn't it hard to remember sometimes? There are so many prayer requests, it's hard to remember everybody. So that's why we have the church bulletin. Some question how many even, you know, read that. But if there needs to be a refresher on that, sometimes we can go back to our bulletin. Or sometimes if you want to go, oh, the sunset times, that's right, they're in the bulletin. So those are helpful to us because of all the things that we've got going on to remember what's really important, what we really need to do and focus on. So let's look at it. We'd like to look and read these scriptures here, so they're just not scriptures. So let's go over to Matthew 6, verse 33, and see the pinpoint basis and refresh ourselves on this once again. Because, again, we try to turn that light switch on, and you recognize there's no strength. There's no power. God gives us, if we put the priorities in the way that they're supposed to be, he'll give us the strength for everything else. But he wants to make sure that we understand that he comes first, that he's number one in our lives, and that's going to be accomplished by, you know, maybe a basis such as this. Maybe some of you are doing this, and that's great. Maybe your prayer life is really good, and that's awesome. Let's go back to the basis again. Again, this is what we're going to have to teach in the future as well. Now, this is going to have to be important for everybody, because there's going to be a lot of things to do in the future as well. So he says, in verse 31, therefore don't worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. And as it says in Daniel chapter 12, in the end time, and that's where we're at. We are really in the end time. I cannot believe how many cars are on the road going back and forth. Did you know that we can't keep up with these roads, can we? You know, isn't it interesting how if you've driven on the interstates here in Knoxville, I've seen paving projects, and I love the way that they've done some of the roads. You know, it used to be on the east side, there was so many chuck holes. But because of all this weather, we got a lot of chuck holes out there. I mean, it's really, really bad wherever you go. I don't know how they're able to keep up with this. And I'm thinking, it's hard to keep up. You think the materials, don't we have better materials? I would think that we do. I know that we have more vehicles than we've ever had before. And these temperature shifts add to the road breaking up too. But still, there are so many people going to and fro that once again, we can get caught up with everything that's taking place and forget to go back on what's most important. You know, where are we in our relationship with God? So verse 33, it says, but seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So he just says, don't worry about tomorrow. And that's the greatest part about being in tune or locked in with God. I'd like to make a pact today, P-A-C-T, pact with God, that we're going to increase, we're going to get better at our relationship. That's my main focus today, is how to do this. I provided one way, at least an idea of what we can do. You can put your check marks down and just take the week or take a day first. Instead of making it a goal, let's make it a do it. Just do it. So it's something that we can actually say we accomplished. We did this. And that one, you know, once we start to practice this more, it becomes something that's just natural for us to do. That's where we want to go with this. Accompanying scripture, we can go back to the Old Testament. Let's go back to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3. And this is real. What God says, what he said in the old and in the new, are something that's so real to a Christian in its application. And I'm still reminded that that life is weary. We get tired. Things happen. There are a lot of people hurting in different areas too. It doesn't change that. Nothing should change this. Nothing can change our prayer. It might be hard. It might be difficult. You might be very tired. But if the goal is there and God sees our effort, he's going to bless us. If you're tired, it says, come to him. It's just, if there's so much weight on you, I remember the scripture that says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. So if we're constantly yoked and feel burdened, then maybe it's something on our part that we need to do, because God can lift us up. He can give us the ability to handle all these things. You know, you wonder sometimes as I see all the accomplishments in a sense of a leader. Say, take our president. Many people can see all the things that he's constantly doing. How do you do that? How do you do so much besides all the attacks that you're getting as well, but so many accomplishments? That's what God wants to see in us as well. I've got a people that how do they do this? How do you get the age of our leadership to accomplish everything that they're doing? I can tell you, and you probably know it too, it's only through the help and strength of God. How can Dave Baker do this for 25 years? All over the place. How can they keep going? How can Mr. Leon Walker do this? How can Mr. Joel Meeker and the places that he's got to go? And the protection that you've got to go in some of the bad places sometimes that they have to visit. I know it's through the help of God. So if God can help them, he's not a respecter of persons. He's going to help you and I as well. Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. I've got stuff to do. I've got things to do. We're always going to have things to do. Don't lean to your own understanding. It says, in all your ways. Sometimes I've read this, in some of your ways, and people have smiled knowing I'm changing the words, because it doesn't say in some. It says, in all your ways, acknowledge him in everything that you have to do, and he'll direct your paths. There's a promise that's there. Start the morning off, no matter how hard it is. Roll out of bed. Sometimes I'll roll over and I'll be so tired, but I'm going to pray. God, help me today. You know, help me to set this day right. Help me to do what's right. I mean, just that short prayer, then get up and go get your coffee, and then go back and do the real to-do. On a real good morning prayer. But the first thing that can come to our mind in the morning is, God, please help this to be a good day. You know, we can get better at that. We really can. I'd like to really see us strengthened this year by this, especially as we approach Passover, to really get these basics down. Then how many times? Of course, I remember Daniel 6, chapter 6, verse 10. It said Daniel prayed 3 times a day. Now, there's no command, but God gives us little hints here and there. Isn't that interesting? Little hint. So we know that Daniel prayed 3 times a day, got him in trouble, actually, if you remember what took place. But it was his custom. In fact, it became so customary that in Jerusalem time, during Christ times, there were hours of prayer. You know, the ninth hour, the hour of prayer, it would say. So there were times that was set among the people, even though it was not commanded. But the hints are enough there. And I'm thinking, you know, if you've got a 24-hour period, of course, maybe well, I don't know how many hours is for all of you in your sleep habits. Some I heard as they get older don't need as much sleep, but say a typical 8 hours, so that's really 16 hours where you're functioning. And sometimes, as you know, you get up, you do your morning prayer, you go through the morning crunch, and then you get to noon, and some of you might be worn out by noon. And it's good anyway to refocus, isn't it? Because we get caught up with our stuff, our things. There it is. What a time. Whether you're in your car, stop and pull over. You know, and just take a little bit of time to refocus again. God, this, as you know, and he does know, this was a tough morning. You saw some of the things. Please, by the way, bless this and help this to work out so I don't have to worry about it tomorrow, whatever it might be. And now give me the strength to carry on through the rest of this afternoon, because, as you know, I'm not feeling really good and I'm tired. And I'm asking for the extra strength, or maybe another name or a couple of names will come up to you that you're going to pray for these people that we've asked in the bulletins or through the emails or whatever. And you'll find yourself accomplishing a lot more. You kind of get through that. Not that it's a checklist of, I did this, but it becomes something that's established in your heart that you're going to naturally do. It's going to be a natural thing to occur. Psalm 55 and verse 17. Let's turn over there, because I really want to read this. Psalm 55. These should be memory scriptures. Psalm 55. So if you want to teach, once again, it's not commanded, but there's enough here that says this is a pretty good idea. Psalm 55. Now let me ask you this, in your kind of common or uncommon sense, do you think that David was praying three times a day when the hiccup occurred with Uriah and Bathsheba? What do you think happened? You know, all the stuff a king of Israel's got to do, right? I mean, this man was busy. So I'm wondering, even, you know, we'll talk, and I'm not judging him. I'm just wondering that when you're a king and you've got all this stuff to do, that's why you're kind of going, why would you even want more than one wife? You know, a husband's priority is to spend quality time with his wife. How do you spend quality time with wives? And then kids. So how do you raise kids effectively when you're supposed to spend time and that you've got the whole kingdom? And you get bogged down, prayer life starts to dwindle, all of a sudden time for Satan to get in. And he did, didn't he? He got in. So my guess would be, I bet the prayer life was not, you know, you're praying three times a day, I don't think the setup comes. I just don't think that's going to happen. That's why it's so critical for that not to happen to us. Verse 16, he says, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord will save me. Evening and morning and at noon, I will pray and cry aloud, and he will hear my voice. So there's an indicator right there. He's going to hear our voice, especially we put the time and effort into rekindling this. You think God, the merciful God that we serve, is not going to answer our prayer and go, hey, can you imagine Christ looking down, telling his Father, they're really trying. They're really trying. You know, they're putting forth the effort to do this. Let's give them some strength and some help and some encouragement as well that we all need. Okay, then you get through the end of the day. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And when you see what this says, there is an entire mindset here of not just three times a day. And it would be nice if we could all be at this point in our lives. But again, there's all this stuff. It's the stuff that comes up, the things to do, the busyness. So you've got, you know, it's hard, I know, for people to watch news now, especially when the news is so negative. Just not much good stuff that's out there. There's some out there. There's some decent programs that you can watch once in a while, but I don't know how we can all do it when we're so busy with everything else that we have to do. And that's one thing that takes its toll on us, is usually the prayer life that starts to go away because of everything else that takes place in our life. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, is just very simple. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. How do you do that? You just kind of constantly, you're walking and talking with God, just like they did in the Old Testament. You see, some of the Abraham walked with God. He was called a friend of God. That was the most important person in his life, was his relationship with God. Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. Let's turn back here. Luke 18 and verse 1. He said, then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. This was the one about the unjust judge. Constant prayer. And so I would say this is a good example for us, that sometimes when it seems your prayers don't get answered, I know prayers were answered this week as I watched the floods arise to different levels on people's property. I remember seeing an update from Mr. Johnson and watching the water arise on his. I remember humorously as when he first went to that cabin that was on the river, and I visited him over there. I go, this is really, really, he had it nicely set up. It had a second level. And remember sitting down with him in the kitchen, he had a wood burner going. Just really nice to hear that river go by, but not the river to go in. How many times, and I asked him about how many times it floods, he goes, about once every 3 years. And that year it flooded 3 times in 1 year, and every year since it's flooded. And so I guess he's determined to shut it down and do what he's done. So he had the idea of planning. And sometimes that happens to us as well. But don't forget here, we have a God that we serve that sometimes maybe wants to see our persistence. Are they going to, because he already knows. So I know for us, an example for us would be that the years we couldn't sell our house. And finally, after 10 years, it sold. I still don't have the answer why it took that long, but maybe it was the persistence that was there. We just never, ever give up. So, we need to be energized. If we pray, and we can go through this maybe another time, I don't want to go through necessarily the Lord's Prayer today unless I had time, and I don't think I will. But we can at least find and pray. I've got, looks like I've got 10 points here, besides the pact that we're making with God today. Different prayers that we can pray when we're asking God for his deliverance. Sometimes we pray and ask God for deliverance, or we ask certain things of him, and people will ask, well, how come I prayed and it says whatever you ask you'll receive, and yet I didn't receive it? So this might be called a prayer of submission or prayer of surrender, would be point one. That when we're looking to God, remember as Jesus Christ prayed in Matthew chapter 26. Let's go over here to Matthew chapter 26. Sometimes we have mixed feelings because we've prayed for someone, for God to deliver, and for whatever reason, it didn't happen. Sometimes that can be very discouraging, and if our relationship with God is as such in this prayer, then it's going to be the same thing that Jesus Christ prayed as well. Matthew chapter 26. In verse 39, he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." This was very important. Very important. Why did he say this? Because he knew, in a sense, the Father. He knew, already knew this. But it was written down, I believe, for us. Because how many times, I remember once in my life, it was so awful, what we were going through, I was on my face before God. A great learning experience for me. I really, at that time, felt like God had left me. One of the most important lessons I learned from that, I realized he never did. And I realized he never will. Best thing that ever happened. Best thing. Because I realized in my life I may not understand it at the time. So many things I don't understand. Why he allows certain people to die along the way. Some of our younger people. Remember when one of our younger ministers died. And I'm going, God, you know we need more people. Why? And God in his perfection knows exactly why. I may not totally understand, but here's the prayer of surrender. God, please help, please deliver. Please do this, please do that. Nevertheless, whatever turns out, It's not going to cause me to doubt. But I am going to pray about this. But I submit to you as the God of the universe that's perfect in everything, that knows exactly. I might think I know something. God says, no, you know, it's not right. Imagine all these people, again, in the future, that have prayed to their gods or their different things, and all of a sudden they're going to realize, I didn't get this right. No, because we're going to say, you know, God had to open up our eyes too, as well. And so all the things, yes, that you've done were in total vain. At least we understand that we're a people of God that are accomplishing certain things along the way, and it's never in vain. We learn our lessons along the way. We certainly make our share of mistakes, but that's the point. God is teaching us. We're learning this right now. It's not always that easy. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will. We're looking for the Father's will to be done, especially in our own lives. And sometimes we don't even know what's best for us, but God does. The second one is a prayer for strength, faith, and love. The prayer for strength, faith, and love. We can ask for a lot of different things that God knows that we need. But this prayer for strength, faith, and love, because when you have to pray, nevertheless, not as I will, but your will be done, and maybe sometimes in our life our will is not working, but God's will is when we really need the strength. So sometimes we can pray this. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. We can even pray this for someone else. You know, when it seems like the will of God is contrary to the will of a person, in any phase of life where it just sometimes doesn't make sense. I know we're looking for homes, by the way. We would find certain homes because it took so long for our house to sell in Georgia. We had 10 years to look around this area. There was certainly an advantage there. We knew the area pretty well. I remember that. So it seemed like it made sense that we would live in this area. And that didn't happen. I remember thinking about that. We finally decided to look up north there, and all of a sudden this house pops up. And after all the things that transpired, it made perfect sense. It didn't make sense necessarily at that time. It made sense to be over on this side. Now I look back and go, it makes a lot of sense for us to be over there. It doesn't always seem right at that time. But during those times is when we need to pray for the strength and for other people as well. We see them that they're going through a hard time to ask God for strength to be given to them as well. Ephesians 3, verse 14, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in earth and family on earth and in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner person, that Christ might dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, and the depth, and the height, to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Very interesting, in that one right there, in that prayer right there, talking about the strength that we would understand what's going on, that we will never lose that. I see what's happening. And some of us, actually, when we're in tune to watching that, things will make more sense to us. You know, what's happening now? People talk about divisions in this country. I see so many divisions, so do you. Does that make sense? Yeah. It does. Because is it people? Is it the people? Or are the people being manipulated? That's what I see. I don't think sometimes people see the spiritual power that's out there, that Satan puts in people's minds to cause this division, because it's really, when you think about it, it's insanity. It doesn't make sense to you and I, because that's not normal. Even to some just plain human beings, that kind of activity is not even normal. There's so many abnormal things that are happening today. And so to have that prayer, especially for someone else that you may think is in that position, to not totally understand or comprehend what's going on, it doesn't make sense in their life right now. God, please give them the strength and the courage and the faith. What a better gift when you think about it. You know, you don't even have to tell them. You pray to God and ask Him. And all of a sudden you see these people in better moods. They're happier. The prayers of brethren are interesting, very interesting. At times I know I've had cards or whatever when I haven't felt bad and go, no, it's interesting. I feel a little bit better. Where's that coming from? Do you think the prayers of righteous people aren't effective for somebody else? Including us as well. We need to pray for that strength, faith, and love. The third one is prayer for inspiration and for wisdom. Who doesn't need that? Inspiration and wisdom. Let's go to Colossians. Over in Colossians, so it's here it's through. The instruction for what to ask for is here. We just have to dig a little bit throughout the scriptures. Colossians 1. Verse 9. Colossians 1, verse 9. For this reason, he says, Paul says, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may have a walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints and the light. Just being here again is an indicator. Take a look around you. We've got a lot of empty seats here. We don't fill them up. We don't have the really big parking lots and shuttle buses and all that. But what we do have is the truth. We have the knowledge that nobody else has. And sometimes I think we tend to maybe forget that. When we're living in a world that's filled with all these things, why aren't we filling them up? Hey, in the future, we're going to fill them up. Everybody, the entire world. There won't be any more of this. No more of the gold-plated pagodas. No more. Finally, we'll be filled up. And we're going to be the teachers. We're going to be the instructors. This is what we're all working at now, but it's the process of learning and growing that we need this wisdom. Paul was asking God to give that to them as well. There were people that he was teaching, knowing that they would need this, knowing that they would need to grow, and also knowing the proclivity to go back, to forget, to backslide. So God gives us his words here on how to do this. That way, the way that we live will always honor and please God, and our lives will produce the fruits that were indicated, that were intended. And all the while, we'll grow as we learn to know God better and better, have a better relationship with Him. This is the point here. Fourth point. So we've got a prayer of surrender, a prayer for strength, faith, and love, a prayer for inspiration and wisdom, and a prayer for understanding and favor. A prayer for understanding and favor. For that, let's go back to Exodus 33. The way that God worked in some would say, I know of those that have asked before, why doesn't God talk to us in the way that he talked with Moses? You know, as you look through the progress of how God did this, it'd certainly be nice to go to a burning bush at night, wouldn't it? You know, God talked to me. Maybe there'd be some fear there in doing that. But, Moses had that direct relationship with God that changed after that because God started to work through the priesthood. Not even talking to them directly, but sometimes through the inspiration of the Urim and Thummim to make decisions. Then he also worked through prophets. It changed over the years, didn't it, as we see God working. Then you get to the New Testament and see how God, Christ, worked with the disciples directly. That was interesting. The God of the Old Testament working directly. I mean, how many of them knew that? Wouldn't that be neat? Christ being here, actually Christ being here. And imagine the problems that would come to that too. If Christ was with our church, then everybody would be coming to our church. We'd be packed. We'd be filled with all the different churches of God's probably, wouldn't we? That'd be interesting. It doesn't work that way now. He makes it a little bit more, he makes it for us to ask for this understanding that we need so much. And Moses' prayer reflected that as well. Exodus chapter 33, verse 13. He said, "Now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you, and that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people." We could say the same thing now. This nation is God's people, for the most part. You know, when you listen to what Mr. Carlo said, and the inheritance that was promised to Abraham, that's why we see so much difficulty. You saw a people that were once closer to God. This nation at its very beginning, for the most part, was not keeping Christmas. That's changed huge. You know, the problems that come up with people that have forgotten God. But he's saying this is still his people. He's still going to bring out, at least out of the tribulation, those 144,000 that will be ruled by the one that kind of messed up. David, that shows again God's huge mercy, that someone like that's going to be, you know, there'd probably be, if you were David in this day and age, you would have all kinds of indictments and, you know, all this stuff that's going on to remove David. And God has always been consistent. He goes, "No, I'm going to put in power," and we all know that. I'm sure that we do. That God puts into places and power who he chooses and assigns different ways. Yes, he does it in different ways, but we know he's definitely got hands on as to what's happening throughout the world. That's part of the understanding that we actually pray for as well. So even Moses prayed for that, even though he had that direct connection with God, he had the understanding, the knowledge to pray for that. Prayer for understanding and favor. The fifth one is a prayer for blessings. Nothing wrong with that. It's not selfish. It really isn't. You know, it's interesting that at marriage ceremonies, I want to make sure I say marriage ceremonies, usually there's a request by the minister that God would bless in his time with children, for younger people that are married. Because that's the way it's supposed to work, isn't it? You pray for that. I remember naming our first child. We were thinking about what to name him. And I saw that Jonathan meant a gift from God. We really felt that way. And then we thought of the connection between David and Jonathan. So we named him Jonathan David. So you think about that out along the way. Then when I got my last son, who's here today, I named him Zachary because I thought, well, Z, that's the end. God, that's all we want right now. Now, I know that he can change that. I'm fully aware that I didn't want to be presumptuous in that. You know, God, but we're really happy with three. We really are. Please, no more surprises. We're really happy with this. And there's nothing wrong with praying that, by the way. So far, well, unless Jeannie Sarah, you know, we're done. You know, our line, our lot is finished with three, and we're completely happy with that. We completely count that as a blessing. And I know for those that have had kids and grandkids, those are tremendous blessings, aren't they? There's really nothing in life like it. You see the issues that come up and the problems, would you do it again? Probably. Probably because there's nothing like kids that you know have a destiny. When somebody comes into this world as a child, their destiny is to become a part of the family of God. No matter if they're with this organization or religion or not, you know God's going to give them a shot. They're going to be able to become a part of the family. Wow, when you think about how incredible that is, and we've had our part in the contribution. Just three, but it's been a contribution, you know, and a blessing. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with more friendships. What another great blessing that I've witnessed even in our camp programs for people to come together with their children and families that have never met before. And I've seen some that have become best friends, that go to feast sites together, that do things together. That's family. Friends that become family. You get together and meet people that you've never seen before. And all of a sudden there's friendships that are still born. Numbers chapter 6. This is Aaron's blessing here. Numbers 6 and verse 24. And now I usually say this at the end of camp in a prayer. It's very hard to pray this when you've developed relationships with all these young kids and the staff just over 4 days. And it's so hard to see everybody go. It just makes you choke up because you realize, especially in the dedication that we're trying to do in teaching these kids and giving them a little sliver or a sample of God's way of life for 4 days, 4 intensive days, and now you're sending them on their way. There's nothing like when they first come in and everybody's talking and talking and talking. Once they get into the dining hall, talking, I've got to get a loudspeaker to say, okay, everybody sit down, let's go through our staff training. And then to see everybody leave at the very end, and it was 4 days of such excitement, and then everybody's gone. And it just feels like a feast site that was just emptied out. And you saw that 8 days that you were able to get together in fellowship, the best thing in the world that God gives us to experience. And so he says in Numbers 6, he says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. A prayer we can offer for other people. To give them the peace, to bless them. It's such an unselfish prayer in a sense, isn't it? Prayer for blessing. Here's another one, a little bit inspired by a book that was written some years ago. I think we went through this, possibly someone even gave a sermon on it. A prayer for influence and protection. A prayer for influence and protection. And this is denoted in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 10. This was Jabez's prayer for influence and expansion. Isn't that kind of what we're looking for? I mean, one huge big point in this church today is that we preach the gospel unselfishly with all of our hearts. It's a huge part of what we do. Besides, we understand the importance of feeding the flock, of the preparation that we need, not just for now. And you know that we're striving to bring younger men into the ministry. We understand that how difficult it is. But I also know that God's going to accomplish his purpose, but we still have to do something. And so we are, and I'm encouraged that we're doing something. We've got some fine people that are out there serving and working. Some are, in fact, just miracles that have come along the way. They actually have experience. You know, when this first work started, most of you know this, that have been around for quite a while. When this work first started, you had ministers coming out of college that virtually had no experience. They just had the college training. They didn't have children. So they were coming out to people that had kids. And a lot was said about that in kind of a negative way, but that's all that we had. And now we've got some people coming out that are getting good training, and they've had jobs. They've been out in the field. They've had kids. So they've got some of that knowledge as well. God's truly blessing, but we've got to put forth the effort. And we've got to ask this. Here it says in 1 Chronicles 4, verse 10, oh, that you would bless me and expand my territory. Please be with me in all that I do and keep me from all trouble and pain. And a revised portion of this. That's from the New Living Translation. Bless me, expand my territory. Please be with me in all that I do and keep me from trouble and keep me from pain. Nothing wrong at all with asking that prayer. In fact, I think something that we really need to do. Expand my territory. Please help us to grow. Not selfishly, But help us to grow. Help us to have people that are really inspired, that can become part of our family, that can become part of our congregation to serve together, to learn and grow together. God's not done. He's still selecting. He's choosing. This is not done. And he's going to find people, he wants to find people that really understand this, that really mean what they're doing. And the only way we can stay solid and grow is by our contact, our relationship with God. Influence and protection, that's a good thing. Seven, point seven is a prayer of repentance. A prayer of repentance. Where would you find the best one you think? I'm pretty sure you all know that. Usually around Passover time. You know, we had a song, a good valuable thing for being a part of the choir, singing hymns or whatever, is you start to memorize scripture through the songs. Remember 1 Thessalonians, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others that have no hope. Now, that's the song that we sang in choir, the whole thing. And the other one, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. That's an easy one to learn. So sometimes we have memory scriptures or memory passages, and because you might be a part of the choir, there's an extra blessing there. Or that's part of our hymns. In thy loving kindness, Lord, be merciful to me. That's a part of that too. We sing that all the time. David's prayer for mercy. And when you think about what he really had to go through, as I said, when you're a king, it's always easy to judge a king. And yet God says, even despite what he did, his prayer of repentance caused God to look upon him and realize he was a man. He was a man that made a pretty severe mistake. But he was forgiven, and God did renew his spirit within him. And this is a king that we're going to see in the future, and I don't think anybody, at least among us, are going to be pointing the finger at King David. So, wow, you are a man that went through some tough times. I read all about you. I'd like to talk to you a little bit more about that, not about your negative things. I certainly have had my share of mine. But wow, how did all that work out? How'd you feel on that part when that happened, when your son turned against you? You know, you'll probably say, that was rough. How'd you get through it? I had to stay close to my God. And that's what he did. All the way up to his death, he stayed very close to God. And he died. And he also had a son that died. So he didn't have an easy time either. But he had a prayer of repentance that you can find in Psalm 51, verse 7. That I just sang. Or at least tried to. Hope it was okay. The next one, point eight, a prayer for renewal and restoration. That's the one that you can start tomorrow. If you would like to use the list and that would be helpful, that's great. You can start it tomorrow. If you're thinking, no, I'd like to go ahead, I realize I need a spiritual tune-up here. Let's give this a shot and see how we do. Prayer for renewal. You'll find this in Habakkuk chapter 3. Habakkuk, we'll find out how he really pronounced his name in the future. Right toward the end there, it's not very well used. Let's look for Habakkuk. We should have a contest. Who can get to Habakkuk the quickest? Nahum. Habakkuk. I don't know if we all know how to spell it, but now we can look at it. Chapter 3, verse 2. Chapter 3 and verse 2. O Lord, I have heard your speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years, in the midst of the years make it known, in wrath remember mercy. Very difficult when they were down on their knees. And we've been there as well. When you consider what we've been through as a church, wow. It's been painful in many cases to go through what we've done has been very, very painful, very hurtful. Now at its apex, wow, what a joy it was to be out at a beautiful college. We had gold leaf too, by the way, for those of you that were out in Pasadena. And in the front of ours, on this beautiful marble wall, it says, dedicated to the honor and glory of the great God. It was so interesting when they removed those letters. Etched in that marble, you can still read it. Unless they try to polish it out, I don't think they could. I think God was saying, hey, this was once a tool used for good things. But God showed us something that even all the physical things, because as you know, what was a new one to us is we never had a temple that came down. But we did. And so did they in the Israelite time, didn't they? They had the most gorgeous temple of all time that came down three times, didn't it? And we understand that God sees more in the spiritual temple. He doesn't want that one to come down. So he tells us how to build on that. But sometimes we need that renewal. We need the restoration as well. We can tell God we're down. I've told you before, it's like getting the spiritual wind knocked out of you. How many of you have had the wind knocked out of you? You know how hard that is to try to relax that diaphragm? You know, figure out what really happens when somebody hits that muscle, it crunches up, and you can't breathe. And I remember my teammates would gather. I go, I need room. You're crowding in on me. I'm tensing up with people crowding. I need room to try to get that back. Sometimes spiritually, it could be the same thing. You realize, maybe that week, I'm just feeling down. I just need that strength. I talked to somebody about that before, and all of a sudden, when it comes back, there's nothing like when it comes back. You might still have the same problems. But when you get your spiritual wind back, and you just realize, God, I know you know what's going on. And so guess what? I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to ask you to take care of it. And we've all had different experiences like that. People have had experience with getting fired from their jobs or something not working. And I've told people, I go, you know, too many times I've seen God turn lemons into lemonade. Too many times. When somebody says, this has happened, I go, okay, then that's not for you, obviously. Or God would give you that. He's got something else in mind for you. And that's what we ask him. His will to be done. Not our will, but his will. So he understands that we need the restoration. He knows and sees what we need. He knows before we ask it, says Matthew. Point 9 is a prayer for mercy. Prayer for mercy. You know the parable in Luke chapter 18. Luke 18. Luke chapter 18. Verse 9. He spoke this parable for some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed with himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like others, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and even as this tax collector. We can watch all the news that we can during the week, and I'm not saying that anybody here has this attitude, but when you see all the finger pointing, all the attitudes, sometimes I'll see certain messages on Facebook that kind of give this impression. I'm certainly glad that we're not like the rest of these people. And it's so easy to do that when we see bad things being done. He says, I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Remember, we went through the scripture on love that says you can do all these things and miss out. You can do all these physical things and miss out. The tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone who exalts himself will be abased, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Wow. So look at all the things that there are to work on. I mean, we could probably all sing the song, O Lord, it's hard to be humble. You know, because we're going to naturally have that tendency, hey, you know, like with the if you remember Happy Days. Goes to the mirror to look and goes, hey. I think many people remember the Fonz. It can creep up to us when Satan's working on that because we can see all the bad everywhere else. To realize God's mercy is so, so incredible. And here's the one to top this, besides the prayer of mercy. Now, we can ask, point 10, the prayer for boldness. The prayer for boldness. Yes, there's nothing wrong with boldness in a good way. Because when we're talking to somebody, we're talking to them about God, not about us. Maybe as God's people, as God's saints, as God's called out ones, but then we think along the way too, we're saints, we're called out ones, but he also, the song, God gives us the song, not many wise men now are called, not many noble brethren, but he does not expect us to be unwise or stay unwise. And that's why this relationship. You know, when you can see throughout the Bible, when the first saints or the ones that were called prayed, they apparently didn't ask for prosperity or ease, and God certainly didn't give it to them, did he? Especially when you look at the travels of Paul, what was it, six times, how many times he was stoned, how many times he was shipwrecked. So it says, we understand too, with many trials and tribulations shall you enter the kingdom. I'm looking forward to, maybe our minds have got to change, or my mind's got to change on that too. You know, to the time I'm going, bring it on, God, bring it on. Especially when you got so many, it seems so many flying at you at once anyway. I remember the time talking to my wife about, you know, things have been going pretty good. Oh, just, God goes, okay, just wait a second. Hang in there, because you got another learning experience coming on the road. You know, very interesting how God works this out, yet gives us the capability to get through those next ones. And all of you and I can look in our past and go, here I was there, God got me through that one, got us through that one, we made it through that. And I'm thinking along the way, every time, God got us through it. Every time. I'm here to talk about it. I'm still here to talk about it. Every time. Maybe not in the way that we had thought, or I had thought, but we still made it through. And we're still growing, and we're still learning. I'm kind of going, uh-oh, because I know I don't know everything yet. What else is there going to be to learn? If I'm going to have a prayer, God, please, you know, show me, but in your love and your mercy, don't hit me with something that's going to devastate me and that I can't handle. And God knows that already, but still a good idea to pray about it. Prayer of boldness in Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, let's turn over here. And that'll go through really quickly the pact. That kind of sums a little bit this up in 4 points. Acts chapter 4. And let's go to verse 29. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. By stretching out your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus Christ. And, of course, we can see that time of they were assembled together. It says they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 31, they spoke the word of God with boldness. That's what we have to do. That's what, not just the ministers, by the way. You yourselves have ample opportunities. You know, during this past season, oh, you don't do that. No, we don't. It's not biblical. So, and you don't have to be mean-spirited. Just frank. It's not. That's why we don't do it. There's so many lies associated with it. It's not in the Bible. God does not want us to worship. Wouldn't it be nice that you would be so bold and confident to say that with such ease, with such wisdom and understanding? And that's what we're asking for as well. So these 10 points here, there may be more. These and many of the other Bible prayers make it easier to pray according to God's will. They can help maybe to express yourself when other words might fail. What do I pray about? It seems like I'm speechless with so many things that are on me. I don't even know what to ask because my mind is bombarded with so many things. So they can help, too, to reinforce and enrich our knowledge of what the Bible says about these things, because I went through scriptural examples both in the Old and New Testament. They can inspire us with the confidence in prayer and the understanding that we have the Spirit of God to have that connection with Him. So here's the pact. It's an acronym for PACT, a pact, an agreement with God. And the first one, P, would stand for petition, to ask God. How many times does it say ask? Ask and you'll receive. Ask in faith. You know, James goes through that. You have not because you ask not, and you ask for the wrong reasons. So we ask again that God's will would be done. That's petitioning God. That's going to be a part of our regular prayers. We understand that. We're going to ask God for things and that his will be done. There's nothing wrong. He expects us to do that. Give us our daily bread, he says. The A would be adoration. We come before God today to worship him. We praise him. And that can be a part of our prayers and should be a part of our prayers. God, you are so rich in your mercy. And then you could put in the petition. Please help me to understand more of the depth of your mercy. You are the great God. David was constantly praising God. And then you have for the C, you've got, it's called contrition. Contrition. I'd like to turn to one scripture here. This will be our last one today. Isaiah 66, verse 2. This is contrition. Asking God's forgiveness and mercy. Isaiah chapter 66. This is another favorite part here in Isaiah chapter 66. This whole world has been, always will be. When I'm watching the planet Earth sometimes, see the one guy will talk about it. And by the way, the guy's given the script. You know, this is all no doubt so new to him, but he's given the script. So he talks about these wonderful, beautiful things and then talks about either evolution or something. Never any mention of God in this. So even though I love the photography, I love the pictures, it makes me want to praise God and worship him more by just what he creates. You're not going to get that from the producers. So I'll appreciate the pictures and the cinematography, but I can worship and praise God and see the difference. That's going to change within people too when they see the total awe and look at God in awe and majesty rather than passing it on to something that just came together without the help of a creator, God, a magnificent creator. That's so inspiring to see that kind of thing, but to hear the words are not impressive at all. So that's why he says here in Isaiah 66, thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. But where is the house that you build to me, and where is the place of my rest? Now that's talking about spiritual. For all those things that my hand made, and all those things have existed. Nothing new on this planet. We're just here very temporarily. I heard Mr. Limbaugh say yesterday, I think he's been on for about 35 years. He goes, 35 years is such a long time. That's the only one of the times I could disagree with him. No, it's not a long time. 35 years, I see a lot of people here going, are you kidding me? 35 years? Wow. I look back and I try to put this in perspective. I think I did that this week, but my dad was born in 1928, so I've tried to figure out what was his age when I'm my age now. I think he was about 50 years old. He'd be 50 at my age now. Just to see the difference and how fast things go by. 50? I thought my dad was 50. I thought he was going to live forever. It's interesting the perspective we get when the Bible says this, all these things have existed, this is nothing new. David drank of the same water that we're drinking of. I don't think God has made, my guess would be, I don't think God has said, they're running short on water, let's make more. This earth has all the water that it really needs. It's just in different places. So, but it goes up to the earth. So when I saw all this rain, I was asking somebody, how did all that rain get up there? I mean, it seems to be most of the water is up in the air and it's coming down now. So how does that happen? And you look at the enormity of what God has caused to happen for the earth to sustain itself. And it all goes back to God. And it gives you a whole new understanding and look if we look at it that way. All those things is my hand made. All those things exist. But this one is the one to him I will look. on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit and who deeply respects my word. That's what God looks to, the contrition. So that pact with God means that we come, here's the thing, we need to come before him with contrition, but asking for boldness. And the T would be thanksgiving. And all, with everything, give thanks. You can find that through all the scripture, to be thankful for everything that we have. Thankful for each new challenge. Thankful for our limitations, because they'll give us opportunity to improve. Thank you for the difficult times, because it's during the difficult times that we grow the most. Thankful that we don't know everything, because it's going to give us the opportunity to learn more. Thankful for good things. Yet a life of fulfillment comes to those who are thankful for the setbacks as well. You learn most from, you know, all the leaders that you can see in the past learn from their setbacks. They became better people, greater inventors, because of all the setbacks that they went through. So interesting to look at it in that way. Making our pact with God, petition, adoration, contrition, and thanksgiving. So here's a way. I've given just an idea. Let's see if we can start this evening. So how do we end the day? Thank God. Thank you, God, for this day. Thank you for your people. Thank you for your truth. There's so many things that we can go through and being thankful for. And what do we think we need tonight? How about a good night's sleep? Petitioning God, give me a good night's sleep. How about some good dreams? Like, you know, God gives dreams once in a while. My favorite dream is the one, it's been a while, but I like the one where I fall off this cliff. That might not be a good thing, okay? But I fall off the cliff, and I'm free falling. And I fall, and I fall, and it's just like, it's so wonderful. And I land in this big fluff ball. It's just, whoom, that's how I land. And then I wake up, and I want to do that again. It's been a long time, but sometimes we probably have not had such good dreams. And you can pray for that. I don't think God wants you to have bad dreams. So we can pray for good dreams, that we wake up in the morning refreshed and ready to go at it. Then you wake up in the morning, start the day out. You might be really tired, but go, God, this is the tough one right now. You know how tired I am, but I'm going to pray anyway. I'm going to set this goal to do it right and put you first today. Get that renewal at noon. And then in the evening, once, thank God. You're going to be on a spiritual roll if we do this. So let's all think about this. There's so much to do, so much to be thankful for when we're talking about prayer. Let's increase our connection and contact with God, and watch us grow in our spiritual lives.